The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
So I just encourage you to remember that when it seems hopeless, Christ hasn't changed. He's still the same friend he always has been. And speaking of friends, we have a friend with us again this morning, friend Bob Riles, and he has an interesting message for us today. And I'm not even going to give you the title because I'll let him say it and you see where it goes with that. Bob, it's your turn. Thank you, brother.
Well, good morning, everyone. So glad to be here with you this morning. It's just always a blessing when I get to come back and to be with friends. The praise and worship this morning just really touched me. You know, it's just so awesome to be in the Lord's presence, and that the blessing song you sang was pretty neat. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Thank you. The title of our sermon this morning is our message, or my talking, as you categorize it, is Thanksgiving 24/7, 365. We had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I'm really glad for a Thanksgiving day. But I'll tell you what here's the one line or the two or three sentences that kind of sums up where we're going today, and then I'll take a few more minutes after that to fill in the blanks. But quite simply, Thanksgiving is one day. And it's a good day. And I'm glad we get to come together and to remember to be thankful. But for us, for Christians, we can and should be thankful 24/7, 365. I can say we should do that because it honors God and we're blessed every day. But I would also tell you that it's a part of our culture. It's that which we are supposed to be doing. It's a necessary thing for us to do to be thankful. It's as much as reading your Bible. It's as much as praying to the Lord. It's as much as ministering to each other. As much as raising our hands in praise and worship. It's necessary for us to be a grateful and a thankful people every day. When I was a kid, my parents taught me some manner type stuff. To say thank you, to say please, to say yes sir, no sir. And they were doing that because they wanted me to learn how to be polite, to learn how to live in society, and to especially to be able to say yes sir and no sir to my elders. Well, that's getting more difficult all the time, getting as old as I am. But I say it to everybody all the time anyhow. I just don't want to take a chance on missing out and disobeying my daddy. Being grateful is more than an attitude, and the kingdom of God is our custom and our norm. And for us to vacate a position of thanksgiving and a position of gratitude causes something awful to happen. I have a scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. It says, mark this, Paul tells to young Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful people, unholy people, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Unthankfulness. Mark, a second. Tell him what I said. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. I read that scripture to you this morning because I've been distressed at the news lately. And I see over and over people are saying, but why? What is the answer to that? And what I see happening in different places in the country, not just one place, but other places in response to things, is exactly what I've read to you. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. And recently, as I'm distressed and I'm praying, and I said, Lord, what's the answer? Do I have a role in all of this? Is there something that Bob needs to be doing in response to all of this? And God tells me in His Word that basically, friends, it's a sin problem. It's a sin problem that brings all of this to bear. And as I'm considering this and thinking this, and I'm saying, but you know, you're just one of them holy people. I mean, everything's a sin problem to you. You're always looking for something bad under a rock. But then I look on Facebook, and Benjamin Watson, a Saints player, says exactly the same thing in much more eloquent words than I have this morning. He says the same thing about basically it's a sin problem. The guy's got close to 1 million likes on Facebook with people who looked at it and said, yes, this is the answer. It was so powerful that they put him on CNN. And here he is on CNN, and the interviewer's asking him questions and said, what's the problem? What do you think we need to do about that? And he starts preaching a salvation message right there on CNN. Did you see it? And you know what happened? Right near the end, his screen goes blank. And the interviewer says, oh my, we lost the connection. People don't want to hear. People don't want to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the one who gives us the things that we need and who helps us. Psalm 22:27 says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All of our creation belongs to the Lord. He created it all for us, and He gave it all to us. It's His creation that feeds us and clothes us. Ro, it's His creation that brings us the jobs that you are being thankful for and the empire that you get to give to your wife. Great. It's His provision for marriage and family that brings fullness. When we celebrate Thanksgiving and we sit around the table, what do? We invite family. We want to be together. And it's God's creation of family and the love that He gives us for our children to us, that just makes for just a great day. You can do without pecan pie. You can do without, not well, but you could. You could, trust me. You could do without turkey. You could do without a lot of stuff. But you can't do without the love that exists in a family. And all of that comes from Him. There is so much in life to be thankful for. And mostly, we can be thankful for each other. What greater blessing is there than for you and I to be together, to give to each other, to love each other, to care for each other, and to share with each other? It's as it was in the early church. In Acts 2, verses 46 and 47, they worship together at the temple each day. You guys get together several times during the weeks in different groups. Every day they worshiped at the temple. They shared the Lord's Supper in homes. They took their meals together with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Have you ever had a better time in your life than the years that you served the Lord? If you think back of where I came from and who I was and where I am with the Lord now, has there ever been a better time in your life? A more fulfilling time? A more present time? Has there ever been contentment and peace in your life? Just peace with your fellow man, peace with people around you. Somebody gets ugly with you in the store, you got peace, don't you? Right? Okay. Just checking. Okay. working together, serving together, reaching out into community together. It's important that we do these things together because God gave us as gifts to each other. And feeling this and feeling the excitement and the exuberation of all that God is for us, we can look at Psalm 100, and there's so much in the psalm about praising God. It says, shout, shout, as we shouted this morning when we finished praying in the back. Hallelujah. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy. Gosh, this is exciting. Acknowledge that the Lord is God, that He has made us and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His holy name. Thanksgiving truly is my favorite holiday because we're not involved with gifts. We're not trying to see, did my gift cost $2 less than the gift that you gave me? Did my wrapping, and I when I wrap stuff, you know, but did my wrapping not honor you? I like bags, back, tissue paper, done. You know what I'm saying? Did just something not honor you? You know what honors me and blesses me? Your presence. This year for my birthday, my kids gave me the greatest birthday present I've ever had. My present was their presence. Got five of those kids running around this world, and they got spouses and children and their groups. But they took an hour out of their life on five successive days, and my kids took me to lunch. Just them and me, not somebody else, not another sibling giving them a hard time and rolling eyes and all of this, but just to sit down over a nice meal. Not one of them took me to McDonald's. They did a little better than that. Not a whole lot better in one case, but pretty good. We were blessed. It's my favorite holiday because when we get together for Thanksgiving, it's just all about loving each other. It's just all about receiving and remembering the good days, and maybe even remembering the hard days and remembering how the Lord brought us through that. America stops on the last Thursday to give thanks. And it's a good thing. I applaud it. I'm glad that we do that. But I want to tell you that Thanksgiving Day is an invention of man. It's something that we came up with. On October the 3rd, 1863, Abraham Lincoln declared the last Thursday of November to be a day of national Thanksgiving. And that's a good thing. I don't want to take anything away from Thanksgiving Day and saying it's not important. It is important, it's good, and I'm all for it. It's unique in the world. We've been in a lot of countries that Thanksgiving time began to introduce the concept in many places in Europe. And they look at it with amazement. They said, what a wonderful thing you do to stop it, stop all that you're doing and to do that. So I want to proclaim it's a good thing and a necessary thing, and it's a thing I'm glad we do. But for you and I as believers, every day must be a day of giving thanks. Colossians 3, verses 15, 16, and 17 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. With all the wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God, with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to the Father through Him. We see these words. And it's just to reinforce over and over again that Scripture tells us the necessity to be thankful, to put God first. Back to the question, what's wrong in our country? And what's wrong in our country is that we have become, what the Scripture said, selfish, uncaring, manipulative, angry, bitter, malice towards one another. So what's our role in that? What are we supposed to do? Friends, we're salt and light. We are the ones called to live a thankful life. When people start whining and grumbling about things, it's real easy to get caught up in that grumbling. It's real easy to get caught up in the grumbling about what politicians do and say. It's real easy to find fault with what's going on. Those crazy people over there, they ought not be doing that. What's wrong with them? It's real easy. It's real easy. But for you and I, our role in all of this is to continue to be grateful to God, to look over this stuff, to give people something that's desirable to become a part of. If you're going to join them in the Mully Grubs, then you're condoning it. You're saying, this is a good thing. We all ought to be Mully Grubbers. The Church of the Mully Grubbers. Huh. But instead, we need to be the positive ones. We need to be the ones that say, Jesus is Lord. He is the answer to all of our questions. He is the one who brings the blessings in our life. And we want to give thanks and honor to Him. We don't have to judge people. It's not up to us to tell people what's wrong with their lives. They know it. They know what's wrong with their lives. They understand that they're a bunch of scoundrels and money grubbers. But we don't need to make them what they ought not be. We need to be, as Christians, we need to be loving people and caring for people and showing them the better way, not with our judgmental words, but showing them the better way by our acts of love for God, our acts of love for each other, and our caring and concern for them. Mully grubbers from all over the country went to Ferguson, Missouri. Most of the people who were arrested there were not from Ferguson, Missouri. They were from other places who came to join in the Mully Grubs. They wanted to be a part of it. We want to live the kind of life that people want to be a part of the God that we serve. Amen? The book of Romans has something to say about this. This is in chapter 1, and it's a real interesting indictment. So stay with me with this. But since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. Being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Without excuse for what? Without excuse to know that God exists. Without excuse to know that He is the Creator. Science can take us so far, and then it stops. Science can take us to the edge of God, but it can't take us to God. There are things in nature that God has created that we cannot artificially reproduce. Because God is God, and people know that He exists. Although they knew God, listen, this is us, this is what's going on. Although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God or gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Ignoring God, these people became fools. The next six verses talked about God gave them over to their sinful desires. You want to be that way? You be that way. I'm not going to force you to be something else. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They don't want to hear it. The people on CNN didn't want to hear the message of the gospel. They worship created things rather than their creator. God gave them over to their sinful lust. God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not be done. That's what the next six verses says. And then comes verse 29. And it tells you the result. If you do A, if you put your hand in the fire, it's going to get burned. Okay, if you hit your thumb with a hammer, what happens? It hurts. Every time it hurts. There's certain laws about this that have a result, and we know what those results are. And the Word of God said, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderous, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. Amazing. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they know that. They know it. They not only continue to do these very things, they also approve of those who practice them. When we vacate praising God as a nation, when we vacate lifting Him up and exalting Him and saying that He is King and He is Lord, regardless of what your Christian denomination is, we're together. And as long as we're praising God and recognizing Him for who He is, then we're in the right place. But this is what happens to those who ignore God. It happens in a very visible way in the news today with all the stuff that's going on. But you know what? It happens all around us. It happens all around us, to somebody in a restaurant, to somebody in a clerk in a store, or somebody at work. People who just ignore God, and they always got troubles. They are just full up to here with troubles. And they don't understand it, and they don't know how to fix it. And the answer is so clear. The answer is being thankful. The definition of being thankful is assessing where you were. I know where I was. Understanding who you are, where you are now, and being thankful for the difference. Exactly. And where you're going. These things about God, these things about thanksgiving, is being able to consider your life. What difference are you making? What difference is God making in your life? Is it having an impact somewhere? We certainly hope it is. It's not a word of condemnation, but it's a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement to say, don't be lost. Don't be lost in your thinking. Don't be distressed in your thinking, saying, what is this place coming to? But rather be what God would have us to be. Arms raised up, singing a song called The Blessings, sharing with each other what God is doing in our life, and being thankful for all that He's doing. As I was saying a second ago, it's not only for the people we see in the news, but to an extent it's for the church as well. Look at Revelation chapter 2. It's the letter to the Ephesians. Verse 2 says, I know your works, I know your labors, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you persevered and have patience and have labored in my name's sake and have not become weary. Yes, this is my day. Lord says, I saw you do it, and I'm glad you do it. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works. It's good for us to do the stuff. It's good for us to feed the hungry. It's good for us to reach out to those in need. It's good for us to pray for the sick and to see their healing. It's good for us to do all of those things. And we must do those things. But we can't get tied up in the doing and forget the Creator, the one who takes care of us, the one who does everything that we need. We need not forget all of His benefits. Psalm 103 says, He forgives me all my sins. Brother Morris can preach that one verse much better than I'll ever preach it. But simply to say, take it for what it's worth. He forgives all of our sins, and He heals all of our diseases. He redeems us from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. One of the other translations of this says, he picked us up out of the pit. Or in the Cajun translation, he brought me out of the ditch. And he crowns me with love and compassion. The ditch that he found us in, when our life went off the road and we had a couple of wheels in the ditch, and he came back and he got us out of the ditch. He cleaned us up. He put as with the prodigal son, he put a ring on our finger and clothed us in royal robes and called the feast for us. And then he crowns us with love and compassion. When we walk down the street in the name of Jesus, what do people see? They see that crown. And what is that crown? Love and compassion. Not the mully grub. Not the agreement. Not saying, yeah, this is a terrible world we live in. I am not of this world. I am of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God says he is in charge of all that's going on. I depend on him. I love him. I trust him. And God is my creator. My thought today is to challenge you not only to set aside one day, but be thankful, but to adopt a thankful lifestyle and focus in life. If people look at you and say, boy, that is a thankful person. That is a person that just, they really got it all together. You know, that's what we need to be. That's where it comes to serve the kingdom of God. Philippians 4 describes that pretty well again. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through the good works that you do. No. Through Christ Jesus. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. He is all of it. And when we pray, when we seek God with a gratitude in our hearts, with thanksgiving, the scripture says, we'll have peace. If you talk to people up and down the street and you want to know, what do you want out of life? Man, I just want peace. Man, I'm so tired of the struggles. I'm so tired. I want the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is yours. And where does it come from? Praying with expectation and praying with thanksgiving. Not with as an entitled person. Not as one saying, your word said, now. Ooh, that's not good. But rather with thanksgiving, Lord, you've been so gracious. You meet all of my needs. If I need it, I have it. And if I don't have it, I must not need it. Because he takes care of us. We never are without. As we get close to the end of this, talking about prayer supplication, Galatians chapter 5, I read to you the bad stuff about what happens when you thanksgiving without God. Let me read you what happens with thanksgiving with God. Galatians chapter 5, and I've chosen the message because it changes the word. Sometimes we hear the same scripture over and over again, and when we hear the scripture, we say, oh yeah, I heard that before. So I decided to do the message so we could hear this maybe with a new ear. It says, what happens when we live God's way? That's pretty specific to what we're talking about. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Give you a clue where we're going? Yeah? Okay. Things like affection for other people, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. Looking for the best in others. There's something good in that person. I got to find it. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments to one another. Not on one day and off another, but, you know, you see somebody 20 years later and you're still in love. I'm still in love. It's been 20 years probably between my visits with Bob Lambert. And he's still the same great guy he was then. You know, loyal commitments to one another. No need to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. you may recognize these longer as just the as the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we live a life of thanksgiving, when we live a life given to the Lord and devoted to who He is and being vocal in our thanks and praise to Him, these are the things that appear in our life. Not the anger and the bitterness and the striving and all those things. Don't thank God, that's what you get. Do thank God, this is what you get. You decide. You decide. It's not a hard program to figure out. For me and my household, we chose the Lord. Verse 25 in Galatians 25, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it to as an idea in our head, ooh, or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implication in every detail of our lives. As a missionary to the kingdom of God, as a grateful believer, recognizing the grace and mercy of God in my life, I want to challenge you today. And I want to challenge you to let this last verse, this verse 25, become a part of who you are every day. America has lost its way. Our country, the leaders of our country have lost the way. When they want to take God out of the schools and God off the money, and they we want to get God out of stuff. Don't know where that was going. Nowhere, probably. When we want to do that, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder that the nation's in the trouble it's in today? It's up to us. It's up to us not to judge them, not to come back and say, look, you're all wrong, I have all the answers for your life, but rather to live a life that makes sense before God. From thanksgiving comes hope. It's up to you and I. We're the varsity team. It's always a scary thought for me. We're the best guys got. Yeah, wow. There is no A team about ready to come in and say, hey, let me show you how to do it. We're it. We're the A team. We're the ones to carry this message of the precious message in the places that we go and the things that we do. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just and pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is where we need to focus our attention. The things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, do, and the peace of God will be with you. Look at that verse. The things that you learned and received, that you heard, and that you saw in me. This is what other people should be, people who don't know Jesus, should be doing, is seeing and hearing and understanding where we're going. Maybe Psalm 111 says it. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. In the council of the upright and in the assembly, great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are His deeds, and His righteousness endures forever. He has caused His wonders to be remembered, and the Lord is gracious and compassionate. I put a lot of scripture in there because I want you to know that by reading our word, by understanding what God has for us, that there's continual encouragement to praise Him, to honor Him, to bless Him. And in doing so, we'll have the peace that we desire. We'll have the peace that we seek. And we will be the leaders. We will be the head, not the tail. But when we keep it to ourselves, when we say, nobody needs to see this in me because I want that contract, and maybe if they think I'm a crazy Christian, I won't get the contract. Or maybe they won't rent a house to me, or maybe something bad will happen. Well, let me tell you what. Serving and seeking God, being with Him, be vocal in your praise, making thanksgiving 24/7, 365. Wake up with a hymn and a psalm on your lips. Go to bed with the Word of God, thanking Him for what He's done, thanking Him for your children. Some of them might be snarly, but thank Him for them anyway. And let you know that God loves you. Let the world know that you love Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, that You've seen fit to give us dominion over this world in which we live. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us the tools to make life work. Lord, that You've given us peace and joy, that You've given us a work to do and places to go. And Father, we just want to give You all the honor and the praise and the glory and just say, thank You, Lord. We don't deserve any of it. We do not deserve any of it. But Lord, we, as Your children, Lord, we want to receive that inheritance, not so that we can be rich and fat, but we want to receive that inheritance so that we can be a part of You, so that we can be in Your presence, so that we can honor You and let the world know that You are who You say You are, and Your Word is true, and Your Word is real. Father, just bless each family here and those who are watching via the internet. Lord, help them today to feel Your grace and to feel Your mercy and to be willing to open their lives to others who have not heard. Bless Pastor Morris and Sister Pat, Lord, as they enjoy family and prepare to travel back. Lord, just give them a good return, and Lord, we just pray for their continued success in the things that they do here through this church. We love You and we thank You today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.